Thank you. Well, as was mentioned, I'm Chuck Vitale. I'm somewhat familiar with this church, especially this building. I have come from Wheaton. My wife, Sue, and I live in Wheaton. I retired from the ministry in 2013. And Sue would normally be with me, but she doesn't like to go out in this kind of weather driving. And when everybody was saying 10 inches of snow and wind and blowing, I kind of got a little apprehensive myself last night. I thought maybe I'd get a call this morning from someone saying, Chuck, stay home. But since I didn't, I left early. And we live in Wheaton. Normally during the week, if we come to Elgin, it may take us 42 minutes or 45 minutes, depending on traffic. So I left at 8 o'clock. 8:15, excuse me. I had to back out of my driveway. It took a while. No one was there to shovel it. I think Sue's there shoveling it now. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, 8:15, I got here at 9 o'clock, 45 minutes. So thank God for the plows and the road crews. They're pretty good here, especially Elgin area and even in our area in DuPage County. They're very good. And so it was pretty easy driving here at 40 miles an hour, and I arrived plenty of time. So, hello, church. I'm glad you're here this morning, and thank God for all of you for coming out today. That's what I call dedication. I'm pulling the driveway, and they got four guys out there shoveling the snow on the sidewalk. And I go, I bet I can name every one of those guys. Anyway, the last time I was here, I think, to preach or even to visit was before Pastor John got here. That's going to be 2 years now. So it's been 2 years since we've been at this church. I do some pulpit supply now. I've been doing that. And I also write a newsletter every week that goes out to a number of people. It's called The Watchman's Notes. And usually it's some interesting issue of the day, or if not, and I try to bring a biblical perspective to it. But I want to open with some scripture reading, and then I'm going to pray. Oh, by the way, it's been a couple of years, but I've been in a lot of churches. And every time I come to this church, I have to say it is one of the cleanest and most well-maintained church that I visit. I just have to say that. And it's always been that way. But today, you know, I take a tour every time I come to see if there's anything new going on. And there's a few things happening. But I made my trip downstairs and back out into the gym and the fellowship hall. And I'm impressed. Thank you for doing that. I think that's to the Lord's glory and to many of you who are very faithful. Now, I'm going to open with a couple of short scriptures. I'm going to do Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah, prophet Jeremiah. Only two verses, but it speaks to our issue. I'm reading from the ESV translation of the Bible. You follow along in yours. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Now we'll go back a little bit to Proverbs chapter 4. Solomon is the writer, and I'm going to pick it up in Proverbs 4, verse 23 through 27. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come and worship you today and for the Journey's Mercy. You've given all of these people the drive here this morning. We thank you. It's been a blessing. And it's a blessing to be here. And we just want to lift up this time, this hour or so we have together in worship, and give it to you. May all we do and say be to your glory. May we be sweet in our spirit and strong in our faith. Bold in our walk, O Lord. And help us to watch over our heart. Now, Lord, bless this time. Bless your teacher in Jesus' name. Amen. So, guess what I'm going to talk about today? The heart. That's right. I'm going to talk about the heart. And I'm going to answer two major questions. What is the heart? And how do we guard the heart? How do we watch over the heart? Now, I have to begin with the obvious. This message is not really about the human heart. Although I have some thoughts on that, I will share with you. I certainly believe the heart, the human heart, the physical heart, is a very vital physical organ in the human body. It's a muscular organ, about the size of a man's fist. Not my fist, because I've got a small fist, but think of a farmer's fist or a carpenter's fist. They always have big fists. Okay, that's what the size of this muscular organ is. Something like that. And it's so important because it pumps blood throughout the body through little blood vessels, which is part of the circulatory system. And the blood provides the body with oxygen and nutrients, and it takes away or removes all of the metabolic waste from your body. And in human beings, the physical heart is located right up in here in the middle of the chest cavity, and it's called the thorax. I can go on and on, but you know, the human physical heart, to me, is one of the most important organs in the human body. And why is that? Because it keeps the body alive and kicking, and it can shut off like that. The heart is the hardest working muscle in the human body. It's always working. Even while you're sleeping, it's working. It beats more on the average about 100,000 times a day. And yet, when the heart breaks down, or if you have a disease of the heart, when it's hurting, we're in serious trouble. Because if it fails, if it stops, we die. Now, the ancient Greeks, we have to give them credit, going back to the 2nd and 3rd century BC, before Christ, they are considered to have the primary scientific understanding of the human heart. In fact, the Greek word for heart is cardia, with a K, K-A-R-D-I-A, from which we get our English words cardiac, meaning heart, cardiology, cardiologist. Now, to me personally, the human heart and the circulatory system of the body is perhaps one of God's great creative miracles. What a system that is found in the human creation. Now, I find the heart quite fascinating. And I've done a lot of research and homework. Not because I was preparing for this message, no. But understand that 2017, 3 years ago already, I suddenly found out I had a heart problem. It was called AFib, atrial fibrillation. I found out by accident. I went into the doctor for the normal thing that I normally would do, and they took my vitals and you know, the blood pressure and temperature and that, and they said, "Whoa, Chuck, did you know your heart's out of rhythm?" I go, "No." "Should I?" "Well, we can't leave you. We can't let you leave here." I said, "Well, my wife will drive me home. She's with me." "No, no, no. We're going to send you to the hospital right now." "Come on. What's so dangerous about that?" "No, we're sending you. That's protocol." I said, "Okay." They called an ambulance. They drove. And I'm here in Elgin, right? Not too far on Fletcher Drive. So they drive me to the Sherman Hospital. Sure enough, they assigned a cardiologist to me. And I'm in there overnight. All kinds of tests. Yes, I have AFib. So what do we do next? Well, I'll cut it short, but they, next thing I knew, I had a cardiac electrophysiologist. How's that one? So I have a cardiologist and I have an electrician. I call him the electrician. Great guys. Well, they know their trade very well, and I have great confidence in them. So I still come to Sherman Hospital for occasional visits. Now, what that did, though, it being, you know, I'm kind of an investigator by heart, and I like to look in and research things, so I investigated the heart. Learned a whole lot about the heart, more than my wife wants to know. All right? That's why I'm sharing these little things. We're getting to the spiritual heart. I just want you to understand that we're not some accident that happened. We're not the result of some big bang theory of evolution or resulted in evolution of some sort. That's hogwash. And my message is not concerned with the romantic side of the heart, the philosophical side of the heart. No, I want to focus on what the Bible has to say about the spiritual heart of man. Because even more distressing than human cardiovascular diseases is the problem of a spiritual heart disease. Now, the Bible mentions the spiritual heart almost 1,000 times, depends on who's counting, right? At least 65 times it's mentioned in the book of Proverbs alone. In essence, according to God, the heart is the spiritual part of mankind, the inner being, where our emotions and our desires dwell. In Psalm 51, verses 6 and 10, King David refers to the spiritual heart of man as the innermost part of man. The innermost part of man. In 1 Peter 3, 4, it reveals that, and I quote, "Our spirit is the hidden man of the heart." And Ezekiel, the prophet, he says this in Ezekiel 36 and verses 26 and 27. And the Lord God is speaking, and God is speaking to the house of Israel, and this is what he says, and I quote, God says this, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put inside you," or within you. "I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules." Now, biblically speaking, the term heart represents our whole inner being. And 1 Samuel 16, 7 has some insight for us. This is how that word is used. The Lord God now was looking for a new king to replace King Saul. And Samuel, the prophet, was sent to see a man named Jesse. Jesse had some sons, and certainly one of those sons would be a good candidate to be the king of Israel. That guy was David. David was one of Jesse's sons. He was just a poor shepherd boy. I think when we're introduced to David, he's about 17 years old out in the field. But here's what verse 7 says of 1 Samuel 16, and I quote, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart of man," the inner being of mankind. The spiritual heart gives us the capacity, my friends, to think, to believe, to choose, to feel, to hurt. The soul, which comes from the Greek word psyche, is made up of the mind, the will, and emotions. The spirit, which comes from the Greek word pneuma, is what gives a person life. So you and I operate in the natural world with the soul and the spirit, and with a body of flesh. However, the soul and the spirit of man are mysteriously, we don't have all the answers, tied together and makes up what the Bible calls the heart of man. And as human beings, we live eternally, we will, as a spirit. We have a soul, we have the psyche, but we dwell in a body now. Now, before we look at the spiritual heart of man and some other things related to it, let me ask you this question. Did you know that God has a heart? God has a heart. You say, but wait a minute, God is spirit, right? Yes. Well, don't think physical heart, please. But God has a heart. However, since God has emotions and desires, then He too can be said to have a heart, like we do, a spiritual heart. In fact, we have a heart because God has a heart. Acts 13, verse 22. What does it say? David was a man after God's own heart. God has a heart. And God blesses His people, even today, with shepherds and pastors and leaders after His heart. Those who know and follow His heart, that's what God wants in His church. People who follow His heart. Now let's go back to the spiritual heart of man. In its natural condition, the spiritual heart of mankind is evil, sinful, and deceitful. You see, God portrays the spiritual heart of mankind in the Bible as either being good or bad, depending on what's in it or how one uses it. Now we go to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? In other words, it, the heart, is not to be trusted. The spiritual heart is not to be trusted. Now, I'm talking about the unregenerate heart of man now. There's nothing more deceitful in all of creation than the heart of man because of what? Because of his inherited sin nature. That's why. So we have to be careful here. If we follow our heart, we may be following an untrustworthy guide. So when people say to you flippantly, oh, just follow your heart. Mm-mm. You can't do that. Be careful. Just follow your heart. Because when we rely on ourselves for wisdom, we usually end up unable to tell right from wrong. In fact, oftentimes we are blinded to our own heart's deceitful nature. God said, the heart is desperately sick. There's no way to fix it. You can't call a repairman or a cardiac electrophysiologist to come out and fix your heart. So what does man need? Man needs a new heart. Mankind. And that is why when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, what does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? He is made a new creation. He's a new creature when he comes to faith in Jesus Christ. The old has passed away. The new has come. Behold, the new has come. What I'm saying is that Jesus does not fix the heart. He doesn't repair it, so to speak. Instead, he replaces it with a new one. A new spiritual heart. Ever since the fall of mankind, Genesis chapter 3, sin has affected us at the deepest level. Our mind, our emotions, our desires have all been tainted. We're often blind to just how pervasive that problem is. And why is that? Well, because the Scripture says, God says, the heart is devious. It's sinful. Now, we may not understand our own spiritual heart. And we cannot trust it. But God does, because He knows our heart. He knows, the Bible says He knows the secrets of the heart. Psalm 44, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25. And according to John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, and I quote, it says, Jesus knew all people. He knew all people, and He had no need that anyone should testify of man or give testimony about mankind. For He, Jesus, knew what was in man. He knows the secrets of our heart. Now, based on His knowledge of the heart, then God can judge righteously. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. It reads this way, and I quote, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds or doing. In Matthew 15, verse 8, Jesus said this, and He's standing there talking to the Pharisees, the religious, righteous people, you know, who went through all the motions but did not have the spiritual heart. And He says this, here's Jesus speaking, He says, this people, these religious, righteous guys, Pharisees, they honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. What a great verse. Jesus also points out the fallen condition of our hearts. And this one I want to read right from Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to begin in verse 18. Now, let me give you the context. Jesus is speaking about what defiles a person. And all the people He's speaking with, they're all caught up with food. You know, don't put this in your body, don't put that in your body, it's going to defile you and all of that. No, here's what Jesus says in verse 18. And He said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and it's expelled? I love that common sense that Jesus had. Wow. Okay. Thus, He declared all foods clean. Verse 20. And then He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. They make him unclean. Now, I read through all those things and I go, wow, bet you didn't know that you had all those sins within you, did you? All listed there. And all of those things are in your spiritual heart waiting to come out. Now, if you take the book of Proverbs, I said that 65 times it's mentioned in Proverbs, the heart. But if you go from chapter 2 to right through chapter 31, Solomon repeatedly mentions the heart of man. And in so doing, he provides us with a detailed picture of the inner workings of that heart. Maybe the next time you do a study on Proverbs, center on the word heart and see where it leads you. Now, so the next slide will tell you that our biggest problem is not external then, but it's internal. We all have a heart problem. And in order for a person to be saved, then the heart must be changed. And I said, not fixed, but replaced. And that only happens by the power of God in response to our faith in Jesus Christ. See how all these teachings you've heard over the years, they kind of fit together when you, You think of the spiritual heart. Romans 10:10. I quote, "With the heart, one believes unto righteousness," or right living. I always like to use the word right living for righteousness. "In His grace, God can create a new heart within us." That's in Psalm 51, verse 10. Also Ezekiel 36, verse 26. God promises to revive the heart of the contrite ones, the humbled ones. Isaiah 57, 15. God's work of creating a new heart within us involves testing our hearts. Psalm 17, 3. And filling our hearts with new ideas, new wisdom, and new desires. And I've got a bunch of here. Nehemiah 7, 5. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8, 16. See, the bottom line is this. The heart is the core of our being. And the Bible sets high importance on keeping our hearts pure. Which brings me to my second question. How do we guard, how do we watch over our heart? Well, I'll take you back to Proverbs again. Scripture is always worth repeating. Back to Proverbs 4, so we don't miss this. And let me read it again. Verse 23, it instructs us like this. Above all else, I'm going to read another translation here. Above all else, guard your heart, or keep your heart. Watch over your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, I read from ESV, and it says, from the springs of life. The springs of life flow from it. Verse 24, keep your mouth free of perversity or crooked speech. Keep corrupt or devious talk far from your lips. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead. Straight ahead, directly, forward. Don't veer left or right. And your gaze will be straight before you. Verse 26, give careful thought to the paths of your feet. In other words, think about it. Ponder the direction you're going. Make sure your feet are going straight. And then all your ways will be sure. They'll be steadfast. And then verse 27, don't swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. You see, Solomon speaks strongly about guarding your heart, watching it. And he's talking about the inner core of a person. The thoughts, the feelings, the desires, the will, the choices that we make as a person to make us who we are. And the Bible tells us that our thoughts often dictate who we become. Who we become. The mind of a man reflects who he really is, not simply his actions or his words. That's why God examines the heart of a man, not simply the outward appearance, but what he appears to be from within. And, you know, just like a physical heart that's attacked by many different kinds of diseases, so can the spiritual heart. We can have some ailments. We can have some diseases of the spiritual heart that will impair our growth and our development as a believer, as a follower of Christ. For example, let me give you just three today. Number one, physical heart disease that is quite common comes from a hardening of the arteries. Some of you may have experienced this. A hardening of the arteries. That's because of your cholesterol, mainly. That's why you got to watch your cholesterol intake. And because high cholesterol can cause these blockages in your arteries, the walls. The hardening of the spiritual heart can also occur. You see, a hardening of the spiritual heart occurs when we are presented with God's truth clearly and boldly, and we refuse to acknowledge it. We refuse to accept it. Israel's sin, probably one of the number one sins, it was a continual wandering away from God in their heart. Israel persisted in going their own way instead of submitting to God's teachings or His revealed will. whatever reasons, they refused to trust God many times. And so they were going astray in their hearts. They were either going left or going right instead of staying on that path to God. Now, the word harden, when we talk about hardening of the human heart, it comes from a Greek word. Oh, who would have known, right? The Greek word. It's called sklerano. S-K-L-I-R-A-I-N-O. From which we get our English word sclerosis. Hardening of the arteries. That's the word that's used in the Bible for the hardening of our heart. And there's another passage, let me read it, Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. And here's what it says. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice. Now, I like that word today. It means right now. Not just way back then when this was written, but you read it and it says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness like they did, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. And I, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be any of you, in any of you, an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Clear words, strong words, what we need to do. But I love that word today. That means ASAP, right now. Don't harden your heart. There's another example from Egypt. If you remember, Egypt was stricken with one calamity after another when the Pharaoh refused to release the Israelites from their bondage. What did they do? Well, Pharaoh hardened his heart against the truth that God Almighty intended to deliver His people from Egypt. You find that in Exodus. You can read the book of Exodus, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, about that. In Psalm 95, verses 7 to 8, King David pleaded with his people not to harden their heart in rebellion against God as they did in the wilderness. And you see, there are many things that can harden the spiritual heart. It can lead a person to reject God, deny God. Just like the cholesterol in your body can block the flow, the blood flow in your arteries, the hardening of the spiritual heart can keep a believer from having a free flow of God's peace and blessings that come from obedience to His truth. Guarding against a rebellious spirit and cultivating a spirit of submissive obedience to God's word, to me, is the first step of guarding the heart. You've got to cultivate that spirit of submissive obedience. Here's another heart disease. Very common. It's called heart murmurs. Heart murmurs, which really are abnormal blood flow patterns due to faulty heart valves. They don't close right. They stay open, whatever. See, the heart valves in the physical heart, they act as doors to prevent the backward flow of blood into the heart. Well, we all suffer, or many suffer, from spiritual heart murmurs. They also occur when believers engage in things like complaining, gossip, disputes, division, contention. Believers are instructed many times in the Bible to avoid grumbling, murmuring, hence they have heart murmurs, and complaining. And by engaging in these activities, what happens is believers begin to shift away from the plans and the purposes and the blessings of God. to the things of the world. And God sees this as a lack of faith. Hebrews 11:6, which many know, says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, we Christians, we are instructed to strive for contentment in all things, trusting in God to provide what is needed in His good time. Hebrews 13:5 reminds us, and I quote, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Guarding against a complaining spirit and cultivating a spirit of gratitude and trust, I think, is the second step toward guarding the heart. There's one more physical heart disease, congestive heart failure. Now, I'm not going to talk about AFib today out of rhythm, but maybe I should come up with something for that, out of rhythm. You know, sometimes Christians get out of rhythm in their walk. Oh, that's a thought. Okay, save it for later. But this is congestive heart failure, which is an inability of the heart to successfully pump blood through the body because of the weaknesses within its walls, the walls of the heart itself. Congestive heart failure can result from hypertension, high blood pressure, heart attacks, and abnormal enlargement of the heart. And the spiritual equivalent to those congestive heart failure is things like, for us, anger, giving in to temptation and pride. See, anger, a lot of people have anger, my friends, as we know. Anger acts like a poison on the body, physically and spiritually. Makes believers more vulnerable to the temptation to hurt others with their actions or their words. And that's why Paul, the apostle, instructs us in Ephesians 4:31 and 32, I quote, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice or evil doing. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. End of quote. So every Christian or believer living today can be or is locked in a constant, intense war or battle with demonic forces. You're always battling that, the evil one. Many of us become so intent, though, on fighting the external spiritual war that we forget that much of our battle is not with external things or external forces, but with internal forces in our mind, in our thoughts, in our spiritual heart. James tells us in James 1, verses 14 to 16, I quote, each person is tempted when he is lured or dragged away and enticed by their own evil desire. And then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, then gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. End of quote. So sin always begins in the mind. A sinner must conceive it in his thoughts, in his mind. He must dwell on that sinful action before he actually carries it out. The first line of defense, therefore, must be to refuse to even contemplate a wrong action. You got to diss it right away. Get rid of it. The Apostle Paul tells us to make every thought, take every thought captive so that it conforms to the will of God. That's in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6. Now, let me give you a couple other proverbs. Proverbs 16:18 tells us that pride leads to destruction. Well, we know that, don't we? Satan was cast out from heaven because of his pride, as well as Adam and Eve. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Pride was the first great sin And mankind is still dealing with pride. You know, pride was the downfall of mankind. Satan did not want mankind to obey God, but to become his own God, determining for himself reality and meaning in life and ethics. And my friends, that is what most of the world has done. We have developed our own God, our idols. We've determined for ourselves what reality is, what the meaning of life is, or the purpose of life, and our own ethics and values. No, we don't pay attention to God Almighty who's given us these, but we do it ourselves. And that's where most of the world is today. Avoiding anger, pride, temptation, these are all critical elements of guarding the heart. And finally, let me tell you what Paul says, Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what do? Think about such things. That's what you put in your mind. Dwelling on these positive things will help you build a guard fence around your spiritual heart. Let me wrap it up. Today, more than ever, I think, people are concerned with their health. Becoming more concerned. We're trying to eat right. Not all people, but many. We have healthy diets for a healthy heart. Okay? I mean, hey, I've changed mine a lot since 2017 regarding my health because of the AFib. And we spend millions, billions of dollars in our quest for fitness and strengthening the physical heart. But all the while, virtually ignoring what really matters, the eternal spiritual heart. It beats within the invisible realm of our spirit more than 100,000 times a day. Is it any wonder then why so many suffer from a weakened spiritual heart condition, which makes it nearly impossible to fight the good fight, to finish the course, or to keep the faith? Well, I have a cardiologist, I told you, and I have a cardiac electrophysiologist. So I've got two. But you know what that Proverbs 4 passage is telling us all? That God acts as our personal cardiologist. So I've got three, okay? I've got three heart doctors, and of course, God is certainly number one in that area. And God has given us a heavy dosage of wisdom for our heart medicine. Rather interesting, okay? And what does he say? One of the main things? Just what we just talked about. Watch over your heart. Guard your heart. It's not a wish from God. It's not a suggestion from God. It's a direct order from God. A command. And you know, I listen to my doctors, my heart doctors especially. And when he told me last year, he said, Chuck, and he goes like this, because my wife was right there, you will not shovel snow anymore. Really, doc? He says, no. It's the worst thing for a man even without a heart problem. But you have a heart problem. You will not shovel snow. That was a direct command. Well, hey, if I can listen to him, I better listen to God. Watch over my heart, right? It's top priority. Now, one more thought. The new heart that you have within you when you place your faith in Jesus Christ is where the Holy Spirit communicates truth. So the heart is a depository for all true wisdom. That's why you want to guard it. Can I close with these words before I pray? They're from a contemporary Christian song, which my wife and I both like a lot of contemporary Christian music today. It is great stuff today. Anyway, it's called Run to the Father. Have you heard that one by Cody Carnes, Run to the Father? It opens this way. Listen. I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. That's what it says. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. Again and again. Let's pray. Let's pray. God, our God, our Father in heaven, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us today. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Help us all to cultivate a spirit of submissive obedience to you and your word. Give us a spirit of gratitude and trust. And help us to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and every form of malice. May we be more loving and compassionate to one another and forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave us. And all of God's people said, Amen.